Pop Spotting 206.
Monday, February 6th, 2012.
What were you guys doing out here?
A bunch of people were out here because we were like obsessed with the thing.
What thing?
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I am Ryan.
It's Movie Monday, and we're talking about a new release this week called Chronicle.
It's a sci-fi film written and directed by Josh Trank and Max Landis, and it's a first outing for Trank and the biggest production yet for Landis, who's only recently caught the notice of Hollywood.
Max Landis is the son of John Landis, who is the guy behind Blues Brothers and Coming to America and American Werewolf in London and some of Michael Jackson's videos, but this movie is pretty much the creation of complete newbies.
And it's a superhero superpower story with a twist, of course. It's framed in pseudo documentary found footage style, like the Blair Witch Project or Cloverfield, and you take that and you add your typical high school angst drama and add superhero action and effects and all of that, and that's pretty much the recipe that you've got for a Chronicle.
I had not even heard of this movie when Ryan mentioned it to me. I had no idea what it was about. I had read absolutely nothing about it, so I really had no expectations. And quite frankly, I don't think I would have gone to see this movie if I had seen the trailer. Going into this film with no knowledge really helped me to enjoy it more. It really took me along for the ride. I wasn't expecting anything. And because of that, and because of other experiences like this, I'm really starting to hate trailers as a concept. I think they tell you too much. I think they build up expectations too high. And I think people should really try to go into movies cold more often.
Well, I didn't know what to expect either. It was kind of a last minute choice. I guess going in cold is good, but we hope you'll listen to podcasts about movies too. And we always try our best not to be too spoilery. In this particular case, frankly, the reason why Jen wasn't prepared is because the original plan was to see a movie called The Woman in Black, and it was because Daniel Radcliffe, just out of Potter, you know, what's he up to now? And I was curious too, until I started to look at the posters. I was like, is this a scary movie? And she's like, yes, it's a horror movie, and I'm a big chicken. So it was just a left turn at the multiplex, and we went to see Chronicle instead. But although we haven't seen The Woman in Black, I think we made the right choice. But let's set Chronicle up just a little bit. Like the filmmakers, the cast in this movie is pretty much new to the big screen. We have Dane DeHaan playing Andrew, I guess the lead character. He's a typical bullied kid, you know, and he finds an outlet in his video camera. And his dad is an alcoholic, and his mom is really sick. He gets picked on at school, so this is how he records his life and, I guess, kind of processes what happens to him.
Andrew and his cousin Matt, who is played by Alex Russell, they both go to a rave in a barn with their camera in tow, and they meet another girl named Casey. She's played by Ashley Henshaw. Casey is like a vlogger, and she has her own camera. She's making videos of this party, and at the same party, we meet Steve, who's played by Michael B. Jordan from Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, it was really good to see him. I'm certainly a familiar face, and so Steve and Matt and friends basically find this scary hole in the ground. And of course, this is a movie and these are teens in movies. So their first instinct when it makes strange sounds is let's climb down there and see what's going on. They find a big glowing thing. And, well, basically everything unfolds from there. A pretty tidy setup, and I'm glad to say a pretty fun film. But how did you like Chronicle?
I liked it a lot. It's definitely a movie of this generation, you know, the YouTube generation. Right. Andrew is really into documenting pretty much every aspect of his life. He likes editing together the videos. It's kind of a little bit of a navel-gazing thing, but I mean, a kid with a camera is nothing new. We've seen cinema verite movies before, and of course, he just happens to run into a girl with the camera so that we can get more than one angle and more than one perspective. But I think the movie naturally grows and expands, so it doesn't feel too awkward.
Well, you know, I thought that was clever. I mean, actually, when we first meet the girl and she goes, I have a blog, I was like, oh no, I'm rolling my eyes. I mean, that's almost like in Juno where they make the blog line, and I was like, that just should not have been in the film. But fortunately, that, you know, that's early on, and I agree that the way that they find to turn what is a gimmick, what, or in fact the shaky cam Blair Witch thing, which frankly at the start I'm like, oh no, this is what I've gotten us into. I'm going to get dizzy. I'm not crazy about it. I think it can be overdone. But like you said, the film finds kind of an organic, natural way to settle things, basically pull a little back, have more points of view. And, you know, at the start, I'm like, oh no, what did I get myself into? The Blair Witch thing can make you dizzy. And I can certainly identify with that. But he basically gets better with his camera. Then the resolution gets better. He gets a better camera. And from there, it settles down in terms of the presentation. It's still kind of clever and quick cuts, but it becomes an easy to follow movie. And that's just sort of the presentation. I actually like the story in this film too.
It's familiar. It really does ring a lot of bells. It's the disaffected teen arc. He's right. Really an outsider. He doesn't have any friends except for his cousin. He has a really crappy home life. And in the beginning, he pulls really typical teen boy pranks and he gets picked on, but he gets his revenge. And that's something that we've seen in a lot of movies. It felt very familiar, but it also felt a little different. It reminded me a lot of Carrie.
Carrie is certainly a good comparison. I mean, I think they're pulling on a lot of familiar themes. Like you said, I can see even some John Hughes, maybe some Breakfast Club, and certainly the Blair Witch thing in terms of the presentation, in terms of even X-Files and superhero movies in general. So yes, it feels like something you've seen before, but I agree that I think because these are new talents involved, it still felt fresh and still felt cool. I mean, if you're into the X-Files side, there's a lot of great superhero stuff here. It's about the discovery of the powers that they have, and of course how fun they are and what cool things they can do with it, what any teenager might do with that discovery. But of course eventually they stumble into the dark side and see that they might have to be careful what they're doing. There could be unintended consequences, and so they come up with rules on when and where they can use these powers, and just sort of that evolution of these teens, these young men, and how they deal with what happens to them. It felt very natural. It felt like it would have happened the way we see it if in real life. I was right along there with them the whole way through.
But unlike a typical superhero movie, there's no mythology. You're dropped right into the story. There's no why and how except for the big glowing rock in the middle of the ground.
Right.
It just happens to them and they make the most of it. They really use every minute of the film to show how these powers are affecting these kids. And there are some physical consequences, but it's not really talked about amongst the characters that much.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that too. In fact, at first I was a little curious because I think maybe I'm trained by other superhero franchises and fiction in general to expect some exposition for a scientist to just sort of stay aligned. Like, well, where did we put that thing? Did anybody find where
right.
we dropped it? But no, nobody asks those questions. Nobody asks like, what's the meaning of this? Why us? You know, why these three guys? It just happens and it just goes. And I like that a lot. And you know, I'm also impressed with kind of the action in this movie, the special effects. And just like with the cinematography, it's a building thing. It just sort of evolves. It starts with the shaky cam and the grainy footage. And as strange things happen, you can't see everything in the frame. And you're a little bit frustrated by that. But you know that they're just sort of teasing you with that. But it grows and it gets better. And so it starts with a very indie feel, a scrappy feel, and you're thinking, oh, okay, this shaky cam thing is helping them hide the lack of the budget. And,
right.
and I'm sure there's some of that there, but what I think this film really does well is it fools you there. It lowers your expectations in a way, and it gets past that whole Blair Witch thing, and not only does Andrew become a better videographer and have access to better tools, and certainly over time you would expect we start getting footage from other cameras that just happen to be around, but because he has these superpowers and this interest and need to document everything, he's able to use those powers to get some pretty impressive shots that you wouldn't expect. And so again, it just turns into a bigger story, a grander story. I really like that progression.
And the effects that we do see are really impressive. The like the early sequences in the quarry where they're learning to levitate and they're playing pranks on their classmates and in parking lots, and they just, everything gets bigger gradually and they go higher in the sky, and there's this huge showdown in the middle of downtown Seattle. But by this time, not only do we have access to their cameras, we have access to cameras inside the hospital, on the streets, people have their own video cameras,
yeah.
and all of this footage is put together in a really clever way.
Yeah, altogether a great presentation. And yes, there are a lot of quick cuts. There's sort of this MTV feel a lot of the way through the film, but I give the filmmakers credit for inserting, and I don't think in a bad way, some really striking quiet scenes, long scenes. I mean, there are some sequences that are completely silent, for example, because the camera that they're using didn't have you know, maybe a microphone on it. And then there are some, you know, just really quiet scenes in terms of what they're trying to tell us. I think there's a really great telling scene with Andrew in his room alone. Now, up until this point, we see him kind of exploring his powers. He's, you know, just dealing with road rage, or maybe he's getting back at the bullies at school. But here he's just watching this bug crawl across the floor.
Yeah, it was a good scene.
And what he does there says more, much more about his personality and maybe the path that he's on than anything else that we've seen. I just think that it was still quiet. It was not over the top, and it worked for that character.
I did like the evolution of Andrew's character. About 3/4 of the way through the film, I really stopped identifying with him, though. I was really in his corner up until that point because I wanted him to make friends. I wanted him to get out of the bad home situation that he has, and I wanted him to become what he really wanted to be. But his character takes a very dark turn. We realize his motives have stopped being pure, and he's not just trying to get out of a bad situation now, but maybe he's got other motives in mind. And I think the actor did a really good job, because when he did make that turn, I could see it in his face, I could see it in his eyes, and his whole expression changed, and it seems like he became a totally different person.
Well, I like what you're saying about how that evolution took place, and certainly I think Andrew is a compelling character. I mean, even hearing you describe it, though, and this turn and going a little bit dark, that does sound cliche. That does sound X-Men. That does sound like absolute power corrupts absolutely, you know, and there is a little bit of dialogue that kind of ventures near that, but I liked Andrew because he was sympathetic far beyond where he should have been. And I think a lot of that is down to the performances. We should talk about these actors. I mean, they're, again, essentially not known, but I think they were great. I mean, I want to see them do more things.
I liked a lot of the performances. I don't think anybody was stiff. It all felt very real. And the dialogue especially seemed very natural. I think there must have been a lot of improvisation going on, because everything that the kids said sounded very true and very real.
You know, that's a good way to put it, too. And in fact, you know, I mentioned that dialogue that kind of stood out. I think that there's some points in this film where I really feel a script there. Mm-hmm. But I think what we're keying off of what you're liking is that what felt natural and what felt real. I don't know if it was improvisation or, you know, just these actors finding their inner teen. But they were very good performances.
Andrew is played by Dane DeHaan. I hadn't heard of him, but he was on the HBO show In Treatment as Jesse. He's going to be on True Blood. But this was his first big screen role. I think he did a great job. In fact, he reminded me a lot of Leonardo DiCaprio facially. I thought he resembled Leonardo, and he kind of had the same intensity.
Yeah, I saw that. He was certainly a good, strong presence. His best friend, well, actually, I guess, well, mostly his cousin, the person he knows the best and trusts the most, would be Matt, played by Alex Russell. And he's definitely unknown. There's no Wikipedia page or anything. I thought he was pretty solid as kind of the conscience of the group, the person who wanted to develop rules and kind of taking that big brother role for Andrew because he didn't really have the most stable home life. Although I felt that he was a little generic. You know, we know the least about him, just that he's a good kid. I think I might have wanted to know a little bit more about what he was like apart from what we see, because we kind of get that with the other two guys, apart from the fact that he's attracted to the girl blogger. But you did mention Michael B. Jordan as Steve. He was Vince on Friday Night Lights, and it was great to see him on screen. He was kind of playing Vince here in this movie too.
Yeah, he's that guy. He's funny and he's charming and he can get adults on his side, and he's popular, but there's also a little bit of a bad boy to him, and I really hope he doesn't get typecast.
Yeah, I mean, I miss Friday Night Lights enough that it was good to see him just sort of doing his thing, but I'm curious about if there's anything else to him other than his thing. And I think fortunately the film pretty much focuses on those three guys and what they're up to. Was there anybody else in this film that was worthy of note?
There's the girl blogger, Casey, played by Ashley Henshaw, and it really felt like Casey was the vehicle by which the final act could be filmed. But beside that, she had no real purpose. We meet her at the party and Matt goes over to her house. But other than that, she didn't really serve any purpose. And it felt kind of awkward having her around. And it would have been nice to just have maybe a little bit more time with a girl besides the girls at the party and the girls and the girl blogger.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, for all the teen movie trappings of this film, I'm actually kind of glad that they didn't also have a big overwrought teen role. romance plot, you know, a whole other story where, or even a love triangle. I was honestly kind of expecting Matt and Andrew to get into it over Casey.
Yeah, I'm glad that didn't happen.
Sure, there was like cheerleaders here and girls at parties, but that was pretty much it. And so on one hand, you might be frustrated that there wasn't much for girls to do in this movie, but I really think it was the story of the guys. And on the other hand, they kind of didn't distract you with that. It was apart from just the frustration of being a teen boy who doesn't have a girlfriend. That was about as far as it went. The only other guy that we see is the dad, the abusive dad, Michael Kelly, but a pretty stock standard character. You slightly sympathetic, but still someone you don't mind when basically Andrew stands up to him.
Yeah, there's not a lot of time to get to know the dad character. There's a scene where he and Andrew are having a conversation, and the father does bring up some very valid points, and it would have been great to maybe explore their relationship a little bit better, but I realized that the focus of the movie has to be on what happens to these guys and their powers.
And it's a great friendship movie, I think, and of course a great superhero sort of story, a great sort of teen drama sort of story. It's got all of these great and familiar ingredients. I think the pitch for this movie must have been obvious when somebody went to the studio and said, okay, we've got Blair Witch plus, I don't know, like you said, Carrie or maybe the Hulk, and you put it all together and it's gold. But I think that, you know, these filmmakers got their budget. You know, $15 million is not a small amount of money, but the movie felt both like it had the payoff and the satisfaction of a much bigger blockbuster film, but also it felt very indie and small at the same time. It had that character, it had that heart. So, I mean, I think altogether this film definitely beat our expectations. We didn't have any, but we were glad to have seen it.
Absolutely. I mean, if I had heard that pitch with all those different pieces, it sounds like it should be a cliche. It should be something very typical, but it really isn't.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good film. I have to also note that it is a PG-13 film. I was like, oh, well, you know, we could have brought our daughter to see this film. That kind of added to its charm, I think, but it also made me really curious if there might have been a version or what we might have gotten if they just went all out and gave us an R-rated version of this film.
Well, the party scene would have been longer for sure, but I think there would have been more blood and more graphic violence.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it needed that, though. And
no,
when you
say
the party scene would be longer, I think that would have just meant more nudity, perhaps.
Maybe.
They avoided that as well. And I guess since this is a superhero film, I should also ask, do you think that there's a sequel in this story?
I hope not, but I think the final scene really sets it up.
Yeah, it seems like they wanted to leave that open for them. It's probably inevitable if Chronicle does well. I'm not sure, but I'm also happy if this is all we got. I think it's a standalone and a great outing for this relatively new team. It sounds like we were both greatly charmed by Chronicle.
Mm-hmm.
So let's give it our pop spotting score on a scale of 1 to 5. What do you give it?
4.5.
Wow, that's pretty high. I guess you really did like this film. I'm thinking, you know, it's February. I kind of want to save my mojo, so I'll just give it a strong 4. So that gives you a pop spotting score of 8.5 for Chronicle. And that's it for Movie Monday here on Pop Spotting. We're still always open to what we might see or talk about next. It's been a long time since a double feature, mm-hmm. but we would really like your help in putting those together.
You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net. You can leave a comment on the blog at popspotting.net, or best of all, and this is truly the best of all, we can leave a voicemail that we can share at 815-310-0808.
You can also post on our Facebook page at facebook.com/popspotting. And you can catch us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
Come back tomorrow for TV Tuesday, where we'll talk about The River on ABC.
That's right. Instead of a mysterious island, it's a mysterious jungle. Now, if you enjoy our podcast, we hope you'll take a moment to share it with your friends and family. And we're always very grateful to those of you who rate or review our show in the iTunes podcast directory. That is one of the best ways to bring new listeners into the fold.
We want to thank Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and thank you guys for listening.
Absolutely. For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen.
Aloha.